When they left, the room is half empty, which is a good thing. This thing is coming up. Last week, we started, how did the Lord Jesus Christ evangelize while he was on earth? For our purpose of evangelism, whether it is on a personal one-to-one, or on your family to your neighbors, or as a church in a congregation, in a public place, wherever we do evangelism, there are lessons that we can learn from an example of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the intention of this study. We started last week. But before we started, I asked one question which I want to repeat it again. I was hoping to finish this today in two lessons. Looking at my lesson material, I may not finish it. If it's not finished, I'll come back and finish it another time. By the way, before I continue, there are two things for prayer and thanksgiving. One is a number of you did help contribute towards the homeless ministry that Mary is doing. Yesterday they were able to distribute about 50, that is 50, packets of clothes to many neighbor, homeless people, and also 30 food packages were distributed yesterday. So thank you for your help. In that regard, probably it will be an ongoing work. When you see Mary, say hello to her and say thank you to her for doing what she's doing for the homeless. The other one is, at least a few of you know that Molly's mom, when I say Molly's, it is Haji's and Babu's, and their mother was sick for a few days. She was in the hospital, and me and Molly were planning to go to India to be with them. We didn't know whether we will go immediately, or we bought the ticket already for the 20th, which is this, not tomorrow, the next Monday. We are planning for a few days to spend time with them. We will be gone for nearly a little over 3 weeks. But we didn't know whether we will have to change the plan and go immediately. Thank God she is better now. She was in the Tiruvalla Medical Mission Hospital for a week, and now she is back home. Thank you for your prayers. Some of you have been praying. Thank you for that. Those are two things for thanksgiving for the Lord, for his blessing upon his people and hearing our prayers. Is this coming up for some reason? Let me see. David, I may need you here. Should normally pick up. Is no source found. Is it to the front or back? Both. It says no. Okay, now it's coming. Technology is great when it works.
power of the Holy Spirit.
This is not working.
Okay, I will be loud enough so you can hear anyway. So when we come to the book of Acts, we see the same pattern. Even the apostles, what they did, there was prayer behind what they did, and they used the word of God again to preach what they were preaching in Acts chapter 2. We see continuous pattern throughout the book of Acts. In both Peter and other apostles did the same thing. So our point last week, two things are, when you preach the gospel, I mean, actually, this is applicable whether you preach the gospel or you teach the word of God or the other. It has to have the prayer behind it, number one, and then the word of God, which is the seed. Yes, thank you. Go down to number 26 in that list. The slide number 26. We'll get there. Thanks for your patience. It's still not working. What's going on today? Let's pray, close in prayer then. Can you move manually to number 26? Huh. See? It's froze. Okay, it's doing something now. Okay, now it's moving. Okay, we covered all this. Thank you for your hard work. We looked at the power is the seed, and is in the seed, as we read in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. We won't repeat a lot of these things. Now, we looked at the biblical message of the gospel. What is the biblical message of the gospel? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was walking along, going towards, two disciples were going towards Emmaus, and the Lord was along with them, walking to them, and he was talking to them, and the word of God really burning within them itself, they confessed. What did the Lord use to communicate to them? Some stories or some interesting testimony or something that will be interesting for them? No. This says, and beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Although he was explaining about himself to these disciples, he used the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures that was available to him. There is no gimmicks, no other stories that he was using there. Now, so the Lord, while explaining about himself, he used the law, which is the scriptures. Now, example number two we read is, and behold, in Luke chapter 10, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" A very straightforward question. How do I get saved? How do I get eternal life? What did the Lord use? Not any gimmicks, no stories, no magic. He answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" The fellow wanted to put the Lord into circle, asking questions. He didn't really want the answer. He wanted to justify himself, who he is and what he is doing. And he goes back to the scriptures, the Lord himself, and talking to this man, he used the law again, the Old Testament. So the biblical message is always goes back to the scriptures when we talk to the people about the gospel. Now in example number 3, the Lord used in Luke chapter 18, now a certain ruler asked him saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Very similar question, very similar situation. So the Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So this man, he didn't want to come to the Lord. He didn't really want eternal life. He was worried about his richness. The other man has other problems. So it is not what the Lord took them right to the scriptures and they didn't want to do it. So the biblical message has always from the Lord right back to the scriptures. Now, in biblical evangelism, Jesus used the law to the proud. Coming to the 1 Timothy by Apostle Paul himself, he says this, but we know that the law is good. We do not nullify the law. We did Lord fulfill the law. It is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, and for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus, blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul here is referring right back to the scriptures again. These are the quotations from the Old Testament. This is where the law is fulfilled. Law is made for these kind of people. Now, I'll give you a very practical example. Now, if I'm driving through 35E here, there is no speed limit, absolute zero speed limit. Whether I drive it 40 miles or 150 miles, I didn't break any law, because there is no speed limit. But if there is a board that says 70 miles, if I go at 71, what did I do? I broke the law. How do I know I broke the law? Because there was a law that says 70 miles. So the law was given to the ungodly that are listed here, so they will know that they are sinners. They broke the law. And this is what Paul is explaining to them in this passage. Again, back to the scripture. That's all my point. The biblical message goes always back to the scriptures. The purpose of the law, what is the law? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It converts soul. It brings people to salvation. What are the things that will convert the soul? Psalm 51:13 says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. The psalmist says in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. These are again back to the scriptures again, coming right from the scriptures about the salvation. So when you preach the gospel, when you want to give the gospel to anybody, all your gimmicks and methods will have no use. Well, I'm all for using new methods of communication, but the message should never ever change. I have said that this last week, and probably in other circumstances, the Lord will hold us responsible if we change the message. But you and I are at freedom to change the method. Method of communication can change, but the message should never ever change. If that's the case, then he will hold us responsible. Psalm 3, now we know that Let me just read that highlighted part of it. For by the law, the knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God apart from the laws is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Though what basically the law does, it brings us to the knowledge of sin. Otherwise, you will not know whether we sinned or not. What shall we say then in Romans 7? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. Paul is saying, if there was no law given, I would not know that I am a sinner. I would not know I sinned. I broke some rules or regulations. I didn't know. There was no such rules. Then we can say, almost similar to the driving condition. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Meaning, sin was not revealed, not understood, apart from the law. So every time the Lord spoke, every time the apostles spoke, they took people to write back to the scriptures to explain to them that they are sinners. And yesterday we were in our home group in the Plano, we were talking about sin. You can't tell people you are anymore sinners. The days are gone. But the Lord always took them back to the law, convincing them that they are sinners. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We are not saved by the law, but we are justified and saved by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The function of the law, we will quickly go through this in a very... The law stops every mouth. The law shows that all the world is guilty before God. The law is the knowledge of sin. Acts as a schoolmaster to bring one to Christ. These are all direct quotations of the scriptures. The law does not condemn. John 3:18, they are condemned already. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and a law is a light. Romans 3:20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Again, Paul says. In 7:13 in Romans, by the commandment, sin became exceedingly sinful. All this knowledge and revelation of sin came because of the knowledge of the revelation of the law that is given to us. The law is written in our hearts. Paul in Romans chapter 1, he talks about people who has never had any scriptures in their hand and never had heard the gospel. He says it is written in their hearts by looking at the creation that there is a creator. Therefore, no man have any excuse. The word conscience is, con is with, science is knowledge. Conscience means with knowledge. Today, people have almost killed or destroyed their conscience. And there is no knowledge of the word of God. The Holy Spirit convinced them of sin. We know this very well. The Lord said when he comes, he will convince people of three things. One, sin, the transgression of the law. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4, and righteousness in Romans 10 as well as in Philippians, the righteousness of the law and the judgment which is by the law. This conviction by the Holy Spirit, the sin, the righteousness and the judgment, these three things comes to a person only if you use the word of God. If anything outside of that, it will have no effect. People may feel guilty, feel bad about it, but there is no conviction of sin if we don't go back to the basics of the scriptures. The person must understand that his sin is primarily a problem, vertical problem. Sin is always a vertical problem. Yes, it can be horizontal sometime. We can have a problem with our brothers or family or whatever. But sin, that also converts into our problem, our relationship vertically with God. Sin is always vertical. Joseph said, in Genesis 39, we know this is a circumstance here. How can I do this thing and sin against God? When was the last time you and I thought about it? When we do sin, whatever method of sin, whatever small sin or big sin that you think as a small, but Joseph said, how can I do this sin against my God? Take that word seriously. Joseph's testimony is an amazing statement there. And Psalm 51 said, David sinned, he committed adultery and murder, and he said, he came back and said, against you and you only, I have sinned. Actually, he sinned against a lot of other people, right? But he said, my sin is towards you, and done this evil in your sight. So we should have that conviction in our life. They should have the conviction, the people you are talking to have the conviction that their sin is vertical and is always towards God, whatever the sin life they go through. Luke 15:21, and the son said to him, I have sinned against heaven. You know the story, right? The prodigal son, he came back. Who did he sin to? He really sinned to his father, right? But his confession is, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Your sin and my sin is sin against the heaven and the Lord himself. And Acts 20:21, when the repentance was preached, what is repentance? Repentance towards God. It is a vertical relationship there that you should repent towards God. The person must understand that he has violated God's law and the wrath of God abides on him. Yesterday we were studying the second chapter of Romans. There is a passage that is so clearly talking about judgment of God coming. Nowadays we don't hear much of God's judgment, even less about hell. Some years ago I had a friend whom I was associated with. His message was always, he gives the gospel very powerfully. He will not close without telling there is a hell. And he talks about the reality of hell. People should know the reality of hell, if they, where they are going to. People just get saved by raising hand, not knowing where they are saved from. The wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and who does not believe the Son shall not see life. Listen to the next statement. But the wrath of God abides on him. God's wrath is, you can see, read through the scriptures and see how God's wrath is revealed in many places. That is only just a signal of what is yet to come. The wrath of God is coming upon the people. Sometimes we talk to people, they will say, well, if God is going to judge, why is he waiting? Why can't he just judge the people who are shooting in the church or killing other innocent people? Yes, it is coming. God's wrath is going to come and it will be revealed. The person must understand that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. There are beautiful statements there. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, but he made himself a curse for us. Beautiful words to explain to any unsaved person. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. People should know there is a curse hanging on their head. The curse of God, the wrath of God, judgment of God, hell is their direction that they are heading to. And they are sinners directly with God, and they should repent towards God. And otherwise, the consequences will be greater than they anticipate. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the solution or the answer for the above problems. The wrath of God is hanging on your head, but he made him who knew no sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. These are the biblical truths an unsaved person should understand. Well, they may not fully understand at the time. At least we should explain to them, the Lord took your punishment. The judgment has gone away from you. It has fallen upon him. For by grace you are saved through faith. And Luke says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The poor in spirit in Matthew chapter 5, the brokenhearted are the contrite ones in Isaiah 5:57, and the captives are mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5, and the blind are in Mark 2:14. This is the condition of people that are around you. You may be your friend, your co-worker, your family, or your neighbor, or someone that you know. This is the condition that they are. They are either poor, brokenhearted, they are captives, but they are blind also. But the Lord said, I have come to deliver such. These are the messages and passages that we can use when we talk to people. Grace to the humble. John 8 says that the adulterous woman came. Can you imagine how much grace was showered upon this woman by the Lord? And that is what he does to every sinner who is willing to repent. He humbled himself and he talked about grace to him. To Nicodemus, he said he was humble of heart because he came to Jesus and acknowledged the deity of the Son of God. What did Jesus present to him when Nicodemus came? John 3:16 is what he told him. Many have been saved with this verse. I was saved when I was 11 on this verse. The Sunday school teacher was explaining John 3:16. I couldn't hold back anymore, even at that age. We read many more examples. I'm going to skip through some of them. The paralytic person was brought. Jesus presented the Lord to him, and grace was shown to him. The individual that you are talking to must understand that God demonstrated his love towards us, and his grace is given to us. The individual must understand that in believing in Jesus Christ, they will be saved. It should be a very positive assurance that we should give it to them, that they will be saved and they can be saved. And it will happen only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31 says, they asked, what shall we do? The answer was given, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Very simple. This is what is making a lot of people in this world not getting saved, because they think this is so simple, it's so easy, so I don't want to get saved. I want something greater. To get saved, if you are not saved, if you are not sure about your salvation, only one thing you need to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself and paid your penalty and died on your behalf, and you will be saved. This is on the authority of the Word of God. So in the biblical gospel message, we see the law was given to the proud and grace to the humble. The person should understand, I'm going to turn around, those are a little bit smaller here, that his sin is primarily vertical. We must explain to him that he has violated God's law and the wrath of God abides in him. The need for a sacrifice where Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. He has to know, or she has to know, there is a need for a sacrifice on our behalf, and no one else can do that. No man can do that. Every man is sinful. Even this morning that we said, all have sinned. Everyone is sinful. No one is qualified, but alone the Lord Jesus Christ. God demonstrated his love toward us at the cross, that in believing in Jesus Christ, they will be saved. These are some fundamentals that a person must at least have, at least hear before they get saved. These are all absolute things that God's word is instructing us. Well, the modern gospel message, we have 5 minutes, so I'm going to quickly go through this. Apart from the biblical gospel message that was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles later on, and the last many centuries, things have changed quite a bit. Modern gospel message has changed away from the truth of God's word. So in this section, we are going to look at some of this. It is not our intention to put down or ridicule anyone, person or organization, but to show how modern gospel has strayed away from the biblical perspectives of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will never accept grace until they tremble before a just and a holy law, Charles Spurgeon said. You can make all kinds of gimmicks and you can change things, but try to people come to raise their hand and pray with them and give them a certificate. Some years ago, I had a co-worker, a dear lady. She went to San Antonio for some gospel crusade. She went there. I forgot the preacher's name anyway. Large crowd, and they were invited, if you want to save, get saved, come to the front. She came. She also went forward. And they gave her a certificate that so-and-so, I think her name, I forgot her name now. Anyway, certificate was given, certificate of salvation was given to her. She came back next Sunday night. Monday morning she came to work and brought the certificate to me. And she knew I was a Christian, so I have talked to her before. She is asking me, George, what does this mean? Here is a certificate of salvation that was given to her. She has no clue what it means. Many have been in this situation. They will never accept grace until they tremble before a just and a holy God. This is not my word. This is what Charles Spurgeon said, which is very true. Evermore, the law must prepare the way for the gospel. To overlook this in instructing souls is almost certain to result in false hope, the introduction of false standard of Christian experience, and to fill the church with false converts. This is Charles Finney. He is still living. Let me read that again. Evermore, the law must prepare the way for the gospel. To overlook this in instructing souls is almost certain to result in false hope, the introduction of false standard Christian experience, and to fill the church with false converts. This is truly happening everywhere in the world, brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to put anybody down. This is fact. Away from the word of God, away from the fundamentals that we already looked at, salvation is only a gimmick, but not reality. But they will find out only when the Lord comes. Some years ago, I was in one assembly. One dear sister, she was being baptized that day. And her testimony was, I was baptized before, I thought I was saved. Somehow some gimmicks made her understand that she was saved, but she was never saved. But she came to the real conviction of sin and salvation, and then she was baptized again. If you are saved, you must be baptized. It is a commandment of the Lord, no exception. You know, it doesn't matter if you are 2 years old or 20 years old or 99 years old, doesn't matter. If you are converted and saved, baptism is important. But you must be saved before you get baptized. And that's what happened to the dear sister. She was in some church, like Charles Finney said here. The issue that modern evangelism chose to attract sinners was the issue of life enhancement. It is not eternal life. Ray, you talked about life abundant this morning. It is not life abundant anymore. It is not eternal life. It is life enhancement. You know, it's called all, you know, when I, in my previous work, when I was working, my time is running out. We had, you know, we make computer chips and we repair things. The Lord is not repairing you. Lord is making you a new creation. Lord is not trying to somehow patch things. And this is what the modern gospel does. They want to improve your life. They want to enhance your experience. They want to do a lot of good things, provide you a lot of material things, and on the list goes. The emphasis speaks of horizontal repentance. Have you listened to any gospel messages? We are always talking about horizontal repentance, not vertical, as we saw in the scripture. The repentance must be vertical towards God, not horizontal. Not to solve the problem here. That is not how you get saved. There is a vacuum in your heart that only Jesus can fill. Have you heard this message? No? I am the only one. Come on. You heard this message? There is a vacuum in your heart only Jesus can fill. They are partially true, but not biblical. Jesus didn't come to fill your vacuum. He came to save you. He came to cleanse you from your sin, make you a child of God, and give you the assurance of eternal salvation. That is what he came for, not to fill the vacuum. The world can fill the vacuum, but it will be temporary. World can fill the vacuum. My time is up. There are thousands in churches today that do not know when they accepted Christ. You ask people, when are you saved? They have no clue. They have no clue. I know when I was saved. December 4th, 1960, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the Sunday school class. That's when I was saved. We should know. Well, I'm not saying you know if you forgot, it doesn't matter. But you should know there is a day that you are saved. There is a lot of emphasis on activity and false assurance of salvation. Many converts don't fall away. They get followed up and squeezed into a local church where they are surrounded by a good social life. And they stay within the church given assurance they are saved, when there is no grounds for their salvation, because they do not have the things that accompany salvation, says the scripture. Follow-up is when we get decisions through crusades or gospel meetings, and we take laborers from the harvest field and give them this disheartening task of running after these decisions to make sure they are ongoing with God. What it is a sad admission of the amount of confidence we have in the power of our message and the keeping power of God. This is the modern gospel. My time is 2 minutes late, so I'm going to close here. Lord willing, maybe we will continue and finish this part, and there is one more section to this, and we will look at that when I come back from India. Please pray for us. We will be traveling on the 20th, both of us, for a few weeks, because parent situation, that takes priority sometimes in life. Michael, can you please close in prayer? Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.